It's another edition of the LCJ Q&A podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lights, Camera, Jackson. Rocky and Bullwinkle are back, two of the most iconic animated characters of all time, in the new series, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, premiering May 11th on Amazon Prime. Joining me now is the executive producer, Scott Fellows. Scott, what's going on?
Not that much, hanging out and hanging with you for the first time, so it's a treat.
Yeah, man, and you know, I loved seeing in the first episode of this Rocky and Bullwinkle show the DreamWorks logo and them involved with it. I think it's great when all the characters can be a part of the DreamWorks logo at the beginning.
It's fantastic, and if you notice, the first sound effect you hear is Rocky's, we went and dug it out, the quintessential soaring Rocky sound effect as he flies up to the moon, and it was neat that we could bring that sound effect back to television.
Beautiful. So I think one of the last times that people got a chance to see Rocky and Bullwinkle was a 2014 short that was on the Mr. Peabody and Sherman DVD. I talked with Gary Trousdale when the short was being released on the DVD. Do you know that that was kind of testing ground for then this series to become a series, to get off the ground?
I did not know that. I know, I know DreamWorks has worked with Tiffany Ward, Jay Ward's daughter, and all the great properties that he has, and those are all, everything that Jay Ward did is worthy of a reboot. I was not aware of that or involved in that, but I know anytime you can get Rocky and Bullwinkle and Boris and Natasha out there for people to watch is a good thing.
Tell me about working with Tiffany on this show. This must have been a dream come true for her to see this series come to life.
Tiffany is a very, very special lady. We love her here. She really was a guiding light when it came to making this series. And she couldn't be prouder of Rocky Bullwinkle getting another shot. And, it was just terrific because everybody here at the studio, I mean, Jay Ward is one of those iconic heroes in animation, and so to be so close to Tiffany, but also for her to tell the stories and the background, it was all really, really valuable to have. And not only that, but she's just so effervescent and fun to be around. Anytime she comes around, there's smiles everywhere. And of course, it was just terrific for her to approve all this stuff and to laugh with us and really enjoy it. It was just terrific to have her. And then the one really neat thing that I remember was we had a screening, the first really big screening when we had all the sound effects and everything was mixed. We had a nice screening with the cast and the crew, and Tiffany came, and we had a great time. But at the end of the screening, we all had lunch and had some laughs and took some pictures. But Tiffany came over to the cast and the directors and said that her dad would have really been proud and laughed like crazy, and that was really terrific for all of us to hear. We were kind of blown away, and that was a neat moment. That was very special.
Probably one of the biggest compliments you've ever gotten in your life.
You know, it might have been one of the biggest. I gotta say, if I thought that I cracked up Jay Ward, that would be you could shut it down after that.
So this is Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's 2.0 for a new generation. But what would you say are some of the strongest elements that you took from the classic series and applied to this new show?
I think the insanity and the playfulness of it. I mean, these are characters that are so lovable and fun to watch. And again, this is a cartoon that not just has, one superstar. It's got four superstars. And you've got Rocky, Bullwinkle, and the most notorious, and hilarious spies in cartoon history, Boris and Natasha. So that was all a treat. And what we really wanted to do was just keep, again, that sort of effervescence and that the really silliness of that original Jay Ward Productions team and Bill Cox and June Carey and all that stuff. So we were excited to use the narrator in all those silly self-referential ways, break the fourth wall, make fun of ourselves. It's a really unique cartoon for a writer and the writing team and the board artists to go to so many places and have so many opportunities to make the audience giggle. So we tried to bring in all that stuff, and we wanted to have those cliffhangers, those act breaks. We wanted to have the recaps of previously on Rocky and Bullwinkle, which we all remember watching growing up. And then it was a lot of extra work, but we all decided we really wanted to keep the the silly two possible titles at the end in the sort of classic radio serialization where we kept so tune in next time for silly title A or silly title B. And so that took a lot of extra work for our artists to draw these great title cards, but I can't wait for the audience to see it because the artwork is just spectacular. And I can't take any credit for the artwork except that I loved every time the stuff came in for either review or approval, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, those are fun to see at the end of each episode. And I love the narrator, Darren Norris. You got to know that name, everybody out there. You've probably heard his voice, and you'll certainly hear it on this show. He is just terrific.
He's not that great, actually. I'm kidding. Well, I worked with Darren, of course, on Fairly OddParents, and Darren actually was on every one of my live action shows on Nickelodeon. So I didn't even know Darren was the narrator when I came in, because DreamWorks has their own amazing casting department, and they cast all these great voices. But when I came in and I saw Darren Norris, that was a real treat. I couldn't wait. And he is absolutely spectacular. Just his delivery, his energy, his irony, he makes me giggle constantly. What a great, fun person and voice to have on your show.
And when it comes to that overall silliness, how closely did you study the older versions of these characters to get their expressions just right? Because they are very expressive. Right out of the gate, it's an action scene in this first episode.
To get myself again familiar with the word and the antics and the voices, and actually, like, you know, went out and got the whole original series of Rocky and Bullwinkle. I think the package is called Total Bull, and then you turn around and finish as Winkle. So I wanted to watch everything just to dive back in and remember all the stuff that I really loved.
And Fearless Leader may be one of my favorites because I remember 10 or 12 years ago being in the car on a road trip and having a portable DVD player and watching the 2000 live-action animated Rocky and Bullwinkle movie, and there's Robert De Niro, and it was just so fun.
Fearless Leader in this series is voiced by Piat Michael, who was on Matt TV and does a lot of voices in some live-action performances on The Thundermans, and he just brought an amazing performance of his character and makes, you know, Fearless Leader is an insane person who wants to take over the world. And you know, we're hoping that, you know, 6 to 11-year-old kids are really loving this, you know, series. So we can't make this character something that's so terrifying that makes kids, you know, run for the kitchen. And Piat just has this magical tone to make a character so ridiculous, so evil that it's funny. And you know off the bat that his plans are never going to work, so you're never too afraid of him. So Piat just walked an amazing balance of insanity and comedy that just giggled. I mean, you know, you talk about Darren Norris and the rest of the cast, Rachel Butera, Ben Diskin, and Tara Strong, and Darren, and, you know, we had to stop the record sometimes because everyone was just cracking jokes, and Piat was particularly good at getting Darren to laugh where I had to get retakes because Darren couldn't just keep his mouth shut.
Scott Fellows is the executive producer of The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. You talk about the cliffhangers. This show is serialized. The season is divided up into thirds with three main storylines over 13 episodes. Was that a difficult decision to make, or was that the big game plan immediately going in?
It was a decision that sort of evolved and developed, but I think it's actually, I was actually really excited about it. I was excited about the idea. The execution is actually pretty tough because, you know, normally you're working on a cartoon, you have one story, one standalone story that a directing team can sort of grab and board artists that's a standalone. So we really had to coordinate between directors and board artists and our composers, and everybody really came together to make sure that all these chapters come together to tell one large story, but also each chapter can be watched alone to tell one specific story. We made sure that we wrapped up sort of individual stories, but then it had to connect to make the much bigger arc or movie or, you know, adventure, really. And I was excited about it because, you know, Jackson, that, you know, the landscape is changing as far as, like, how people are watching. You know, we got binge watching. We still have, you know, great. I'm still a fan of a show coming out weekly where we can all gather around the water cooler the next day and talk about it. So I really thought that this was, I'm excited to see how the audience enjoys this cartoon, because I thought we did a great job of, you could sit for 22 minutes and get plenty of the hilarity and get back to your homework, or I'm really hoping that families, you know, bake some cookies and popcorn and food the kids shouldn't eat, and all sit together and watch, because this is a cartoon, unlike a lot out there, that a lot of generations know it and can really enjoy it. And so I think it's going to be great, because you can sit and watch for an hour and a half, or maybe possibly a little bit longer on a couple, the first one, I think, has five chapters. And you can really swallow that pretty easily and with a lot of fun, or you can just watch the 22 minutes. So I'm excited. I think it's actually a great formula for storytelling in our modern sort of mid-bin watching, streaming, video-on-demand world that we're still figuring out and exploring.
Amazon is really becoming a big fixture in the family entertainment world. I know Tumble Leaf was just honored with a few Daytime Emmy Awards. That's one of their animated series. How has Amazon been working with them?
It's really been a great partnership, because they were really committed to bringing these characters, you know, back to life and giving them the animation they so long deserve. So it really was great, and it was you know, it was not difficult, because we really all love these characters, want to see them succeed, and with really the great team that DreamWorks put together, not only are the artists here in Glendale, but the animators at THX in Vancouver. I just think did such a great job and always went above and beyond, because with a property like this that's so valued, Jackson, we knew we had to really nail it, and so and working with Amazon, they were committed like everybody, and so when we finally watched the cartoon, we all laughed. What else can you ask for? What else can you ask for in a partner?
I have to say, because this property is so valued, obviously because of June Foray, the original voice of Rocky, was there any involvement from her on this series before she passed away last year?
I don't believe so. I don't really have that answer. Perhaps somebody, DreamWorks might know, or maybe dig a little deeper for that. I certainly didn't work with June, but I do know that she was with us in spirit, because she passed away just about as we started recording, which was, kind of wild. And Tara Strong, I can't imagine anybody else stepping in those shoes, those legendary shoes. And Tara's preparation with studying the original Rocky Balboa, and honestly, just her respect and love for Drew Foray, which we all have. I mean, oh my God, there isn't anybody greater. And I love the way Tara wanted to really honor her performance of Rocky Bullwinkle. But again, we also had to bring this cartoon to a new modern audience. So there's humor has changed, and stories have gotten a little bit bigger. And I thought that Tara just did a phenomenal job, and she wouldn't stop until she was satisfied with that voice. I told a story the other day that I love about Tara, which was as we were really trying to find the right mix for this character to bring all the humor and the jokes to our younger audience, but also really honor June's original performance. That takes a while to find that balance and nuance. And around episode 5, when we started doing ADR, we had to go back and fix some of the original, takes. Tara was like, I got to do that again. We got to do that again. Because around episode 5, we were really finding a groove. And so we went back to 1. We're like, we got to go back and fix that. And our engineer was, it was just terrific, because he was scrambling to get the beach in the right place, because we had a deadline, we had to be out by 1 o'clock, and Tara was like, we got to do this one again. And that just shows everybody's attitude to make sure that we really do the best we can to honor and celebrate and pay the correct homage and bring these legendary, lovable, silly characters to a new audience.
I love the dedication. Scott, are you ready for a couple lightning round questions?
No.
There's a big prominence of pie in the first episode. What's the best pie that you've ever had?
Well, this is boring, but it's just apple, and every Thanksgiving my kids make pies. That's what we do. We don't cook much else, and that's my favorite.
Okay.
And not perfect, but fantastic.
I'm a Boston cream pie kind of guy. If it's right down in front of me, I'll eat the whole thing in a couple minutes. It's kind of scary.
Not a bad choice. I'll eat it with you.
All right, cool, man. Would you rather take the elevator or the stairs? It's also a big part in the Eiffel Tower scene in the first episode.
I would always rather take the elevator, but I'm going to take the stairs on this question because I got to lose 10 pounds.
Oh, okay. Goal in mind, so you need to take the stairs. All right. And finally, Scott, Bullwinkle's philosophy in life, he talks about this. Things always have a way of working out. Would you say that you apply that to your own life?
It's true. You know, it really is that, you can't sweat the small stuff. And, you know, it's very simple. You just got to work hard and really enjoy what you're doing. And, you know, when it comes down to making cartoons, I always refer to something I heard Chuck Jones say, which is if they were cracking up in the writer's room or in the artist's room on the storyboard, that maybe everybody else would laugh too. So if we're not laughing here, we don't keep with that storyline. We keep going until we're all giggling. And hopefully on May 11th, everyone is giggling along with us.
Yeah, man, I was giggling through the episodes I've already watched. I'm going to watch all of them. Scott Fellows, executive producer, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. It is May 11th on Amazon Prime. Please watch it. Scott, thanks for being on the show today.
Pleasure, Jackson. Tell everybody to watch the show. They won't be disappointed.
Yes, you better watch this show. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This has been another edition of the LCJ Q&A Podcast.